This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, our Tuesday, May 27th edition. Hope you enjoyed the extended holiday weekend. Definitely got some extra R&R, did some barbecuing, had a few drinks. It was a nice, easy, relaxing time. And unfortunately, LSU baseball, the viewing wasn't extended, but they got what they needed out of the SEC tournament, I guess. And Jay Johnson throwing Anthony Ianson and Kate Anderson in that opening matchup was definitely a big question mark for me, and I kind of see the rationale now. So I've said it before, in Jay we have to trust.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what you have to do if he pitches Ianson or Anderson in that game one against Little Rock. You just got to trust the guy. He's won a national championship for a reason. So, you know.
Nobody's setting up, right?
Yeah, exactly. As far as the SEC tournament goes, they very well could have beaten Ole Miss if the offense did anything. Pitching was great. Pitching was good enough to win that game easily. Instead, you know, you lose. At the same time, if you would have made it to the SEC tournament finals against Vandy, the way Vanderbilt's playing right now, I mean, yeah, maybe you win. But what does that do for you? It makes you the 5 seed instead of the 6. Makes you the... I don't think if LSU were to win, this is a fun hypothetical. If LSU were to have beaten Ole Miss and then taken out Vanderbilt in the SEC tournament finals, I don't think they make the jump to like the 1 seed like Vanderbilt did. From, I think when they were in their projections ahead of Hoover, they were around like the 4, the 3, stuff like that. And then they win the SEC tournament and they're so impressive in doing so that the committee gives them the 1 seed. I don't think that would have been the case for LSU. Even if they beat Ole Miss and beat Vanderbilt and route to the SEC tournament title, how high do they really go? Like 4? Somewhere around there. The RPI just wasn't really there.
Yeah, unfortunately for the Tigers, didn't shake out that way. It'll be interesting to see now going forward here. We got baseball at the box, though. Hopefully the next 2 weekends. We got regional action. Tigers advance. They'll host super regional action.
That's one other thing that I wanted to mention before we get into this audio is that as far as only playing the 2 games in Hoover and not pitching Cowan or Evans specifically, those 2 studs that have been bullpen pieces the entire year, Jay talked about giving them a rest and that if it would have gone into extra innings against Ole Miss, you would have seen one of them pitch for LSU in that game. But at the same time, there's some benefit there. For one, Anthony Ianson only threw like 40 pitches in his appearance against Texas A&M, so he's going to be very well rested ahead of this upcoming weekend. And then you don't use either of your 2 elite bullpen pieces, and you let them rest as well.
What's wild, we saw it, Charlie, the fact that pitching wasn't the problem at all.
No, and that's the issue. I mean, this LSU team has a good setup to get to the Super Regional round and potentially get to Omaha. And at that point, you're feeling great. But at the same time, once you get there, there's reasons to be concerned about LSU and their offense, the quote-unquote hot and cold offense. I think it's been a lot more cold on the road and away from Alec Box.
Glaringly different on the road.
It's like Koki said, it's 2 different teams. It really feels like it with that offense, where they're averaging 9.6 runs per game at the box. And then on the road, you see them go 15 straight innings without scoring a run. It doesn't feel right.
Man, talking about one of the guys that's a big part of that offense, Ethan Frye, a heck of a season for him. And if you didn't know, he's actually leading the Tigers in batting average right now, 358. He's got 12 homers on the year, 43 ribbies. and just really impressive for a guy that's battled some injuries and was able to put it together this season. I know Jay Johnson's definitely proud of Ethan Frye, and here's what he had to say as his Tiger team gets ready for the Baton Rouge Regional.
You were a pretty young guy a couple of years ago when you guys were going through all that in 2023. Just what do you remember about just kind of how the veterans of that team carried themselves and how maybe you guys are going about doing that this go around?
Yeah, I feel like when teams get in the postseason, they try to change stuff up, try to do too much, you know, and we have a great coaching staff here, so they've advised us to just play it like it's another game, you know, go about our business like we would any other day. So just treating the postseason like it was a regular postseason, like a normal game, I feel like that's going to help us a lot.
The last 15 innings have been tough for the offense. What do you think sort of went sideways, and how do you try to correct it?
I mean, it's a long season. I think we got to keep that in mind. I mean, that's no excuse for how we performed, but we just got to lock in on them. You know, we could be one game at a time right now, so worrying about today and tomorrow rather than who we're playing in 2 weeks or 3 weeks is more important.
How much better has the pitching gotten around the country? I mean, some of these pitches you can't hit, right? Like, yeah. I mean, sliders away, you just can't get to them. So, like, how much more difficult has the game gotten from the hitter's perspective?
Yeah, I mean, baseball is tough. Pitchers get paid a lot of money to be really good, so it's kind of one thing we're unfortunate as a hitter, but it's just more of you got to know your deal, you know what you have to do to execute against a good pitcher, because there's going to come a time where every pitcher's hittable at some point, so you just got to lock into your deal, you know what your strengths are and kind of just go into the box attacking and being aggressive.
How do you do that and still be patient and, you know, wait out the pitches that you, like you said, mistakes? That's the challenge?
Yeah, that's the challenge, I'd say. You just can't chase his pitch. You know, can't go in there in the box doing what the pitcher wants you to do or whatever the pitching coach wants you to do. You just got to stay to who you are, you know. You got a lot of games under our belt at this point, so it's just can't really change anything, you know. Just got to go and play another game and be ready for the mistakes.
How much confidence do you feel like this team is entering the postseason with?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we have confidence from head to toe. Like I said, we played a lot of games. You know, we know where we got to get better within the 4 or 5 days before we play or even till the end of the season, but you know, I feel like when confidence is one thing that we really are strong at, you know, I mean, it's hard to mess with this type of idea, so.
The broadcast mentioned it, just you get a good view of it, just the defense that you guys have played this year, single-digit errors in the infield.
I mean, it's elite when, you know, I'm sitting in the dugout watching our defense like Steve did on, I think it was Saturday. I mean, diving plays all over the field, it's insane. Even early in the season when we had every outfielder diving plays, I mean, I'm not even a pitcher, so I can't imagine being on the bump watching that, but you know, knowing our defense is going to do that every play, it's really cool to watch, and you know that our defense is going to hold us up. So,
how about your pitchers? Just the 1-2 punch that Andy and Ant, you know, have been able to provide for you. What is that like? You know, again, feeding that confidence.
Yeah, I mean, you know what you're going to get out of them. I mean, those are, like I said, like y'all said too, the two best pitchers in the country. When you get a Friday, Saturday like that, or you know, Saturday, Friday from Ant and Cade, you know, it's. It's elite knowing our offense. I mean, we've got to put up runs regardless, but we have our pitchers that are holding us down even when we go into the bullpen. I feel like that's a lot of things that other teams struggle with is, you know, what they're going to get on the mound. But between Ant and Kata, we know what we got.
Besides the crowd and besides just waking up in your own bed, what makes hitting at home so much easier?
I mean, those are the two things. I mean, if someone was saying that they like staying in a hotel, they're lying, to be honest. I love staying in my own bed, first of all. Great sleep, great recovery. Get your own facility. You don't have to go into a new environment. Hometown fans, that's huge too. I mean, you've played who knows how many games at your home field, you know, what the ball looks like, so.
And to that point, you talk about confidence. Maybe last year, maybe bags might have been on the wall since y'all had to travel. How much more comfortable is this moment? Like, just having, knowing you, the road to Omaha starts in Baton Rouge.
I mean, it's amazing. There's a reason why it's everywhere, especially from our social media team, who does a great job, honestly. It's so much easier to play at home with our fans. Going to other places to play in postseason, it's a little challenging. You know, you're not in your own stadium, you're not with your own fans, you're not in your own bed. But playing here in postseason with everything I just said is insane. It's different. It honestly is.
The way y'all lost that last game in Chapel Hill last year was crushing. How much did that motivate you this offseason and going into this next fresh opportunity here?
A lot. That was actually the first year in 3 years that I lost the last game I played in. I won two state championships in high school, so pretty successful at the end of the year. But on top of having surgery with that, it was a little more motivating for me, you know, to come back, be healthy, play again. And I don't want to lose the last game of the season again.
LSU's Ethan Frye, you know, his first 2 years at LSU, zero home runs, Charlie, this season, 12.
Nine of them coming at the box. As we mentioned, with LSU being a better team hitting at Alec Box Stadium versus on the road, Ethan Frye is one of the prime examples of that. Like, yes, he leads the team with a 358 batting average, but at home he's hitting 408, Steve. I mean, the OPS jumps up 200 points as well, from like 1.12 to 1.308. So good numbers for Fry at the box. He's obviously comfortable hitting in Baton Rouge versus, as you heard him kind of say there as well, Steve, that he likes sleeping in his own bed and kind of feeling refreshed and ready to go once you get to the postseason.
Man, I don't know. I like going to hotels.
Apparently Ethan Fry is not a fan, and the numbers kind of back that up as well. See, before we hit the break and get to Mark Etheridge, I wanted to share a quick update. The New York Knicks have taken the lead against the Indiana Pacers with 5:17 left to go in the first quarter. New York holds a 24-23 advantage here. High scoring start of this game. And I think, in all honesty, that probably favors Indiana. If you're looking at the game that they won in game three, a 106-100 game, that's kind of what you're hoping for if you're like rooting for the Knicks. Maybe an early 100s type of game. If it gets to like the 120s, advantage Indiana. And so far, so hot for both of these teams from the field. A 24-24 game now, as, let's see, Tyrese Halliburton's at the line, I think. Yeah, so that's what we got right now. 24-24 with 5:17 left to go in the first quarter.
One thing you mentioned before when we were talking about these playoffs and saying, for whatever reason, you don't like the OKC Thunder. For me, it's just I'm jealous of how the team was built, and I wish we could do something similar. But when you look at this Indiana Pacers squad, I get aggravated just watching how many guys on this roster are capable of hitting the three ball.
Yes. I mean, it's a weird team, Steve. If you're looking at the Pacers, because Halliburton is probably the closest thing they have to a quote-unquote superstar, but where do you really have Tyrese Halliburton ranked as far as the best players in the
right,
NBA?
Right.
Realistically. I mean, I don't think he's a top 10 player in basketball.
I would agree.
I don't think he's maybe like borderline top 20, right? But at the same time, they have assassins on that roster with Nesmith, Mathurin, and Nembhard, and Pascal Siakam, who's already won a championship. He's been fantastic for them at times in this postseason run. It's like one. Like, Halliburton's the maestro of a bunch of really good players. They don't have, like, the superstar-level talent, right?
Just a lot of really good dudes.
It's a lot of really solid contributors that all kind of come together. And once again, like I mentioned earlier, you got to give credit to Rick Carlisle and the coaching staff of the Pacers for really kind of putting this together. But Halliburton is more of kind of the old-school type of point guard where he gets his guys involved. And I didn't even mention, like, Miles Turner. They have a deep bench where they can throw nine guys at you. And when you're looking at what Thibodeau wants to do with the Knicks, where he's maybe throwing seven at you, it's just a different kind of feel as far as these teams. It's contrasting styles for sure.
Reminder, fans out there as well, Saints Nation, it's week two of Saints organized team activities and Thursday's practice open to the media. That means Saints legend QB Bobby Abreu will be joining us, keeping his eyes on the black and gold. Don't miss the Cajun Cannon's notes on practice, his all-pro read on the black and gold's new players and coaches. Thursday, Sports Talk Edition, 4 to 8 right here on WWL. We're going to take a break. When we get back, Mark Etheridge, D1 Baseball, will join us, helping us break down the brackets for the NCAA Baseball Tournament. Stay tuned after this on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We're back here on Sports Talk. Been breaking down LSU baseball as I get ready for NCAA tournament action. Starting in Baton Rouge on Friday to help us talk about that and all things going on in college baseball. D1Baseball.com SEC writer Mark Etheridge joining us right now. Mark, how the heck's it been going, man?
You know, it was a long week in Hoover. I fought a kind of a sinus infection through the week. So my voice has gone in and out. My ears are popping. I've got all that, but, you know, I watched as much baseball as I could stand. We got a new field of 64 that we waited all year for, and I'm as fired up as I can be trying to fight through this stuff.
Yeah, I'm curious, Mark, with the new format in the SEC tournament, the single elimination, how were the crowds for the showing out there? Was it affected at all, you felt, by it just being a single elimination tournament?
I think maybe early in the week there might have been a little bit of impact, but certainly as the week went on, there were great crowds. Certainly having LSU there, having Tennessee there, Ole Miss brought a bunch of fans. As the week went on, it was really good, and there were some great atmospheres too. I mean, it wasn't just a lot of people; they were really into it. And I came away kind of feeling pretty good about it. I wasn't sure going in,
right?
But I like the fact that the teams that really don't have a ton to gain, that they aren't stuck there all week playing a bunch of games that are kind of meaningless. However, the teams that do have something to gain, like we saw with Ole Miss, like we saw with Tennessee, they get multiple games against good teams and can really boost their profiles and accomplish something. And that's probably something I didn't expect. You know, you think about the bubble teams that like A&M, that really need to play a lot of games and go on a run. Well, what about the teams that are just outside the hosting mix? That's what we saw with Ole Miss and Tennessee, because they were not going to host if they go in and lose their first game in Hoover. But both of them had success, and as a result, they're playing at home this week.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's just like the bubble to get into the tournament. There's also the bubble to get a host. And the SEC getting 8 regional hosts this year, Mark. I know that Jay had kind of mentioned it felt like the minimum, Jay Johnson, when he was talking about just the league. 13 SEC teams in the bracket as well. I want to get your thoughts before we get into the LSU regional and the Baton Rouge regional. You know, which of these SEC teams, as far as the hosts go, which of those 8 teams do you think got the toughest draw? Steve and I were going a little bit back and forth about earlier. We think that a couple of these teams, I think Arkansas got a little bit of a tough draw with Kansas and Creighton. I think that, you know, they're super heavily favored on sports betting sites to win that region, but Kansas is a really good team. I think that if you're looking at Ole Miss, getting Georgia Tech and Western Kentucky in their regional is tough as well. So even though that they got the 10 seed, then the committee didn't do them any favors with who they got. Just want to get your thoughts on which of these SEC hosts you think has the toughest draw.
Yeah, of those, I would probably say Ole Miss, because it's a very offensive regional. Georgia Tech and Western Kentucky are both, you know, really offensive clubs, and so is Ole Miss, to be honest. And then the 4 seed, Murray State, that's an offensive club, and that's not going to be an easy game. It's one of those where, you know, you're tempted not to throw Hunter Elliott, their ace, but boy, you are taking a risk if you don't. So I do feel like that's a tough one. among the SEC hosts, I think Tennessee's is intriguing as well. Wake Forest is one of those teams. That's the two seed there. Preseason, you know, top 15 kind of club. Hasn't lived up to expectations, but supremely talented. Lots of pro players on that roster. Kind of like Tennessee, right? The teams that are very talented but have not really lived up to the billing. Whichever team can put it together and have that big weekend, and we've seen Tennessee struggle at home. So I do think that's an interesting one. And Cincinnati's the three seed there. They're really aggressive. And you recall how Tennessee handled the running game against Kentucky. Well, they didn't handle it. And Cincinnati, should they meet, is going to try to do the exact same thing.
And just curious, Mark, too, looking at the bracket, do you feel like anybody was put too high? And was there any team that was left off the list that you feel kind of got snubbed?
I thought Coastal Carolina should have been higher. They got the 13 seed. They did host the Sun Belt champion, both regular season and tournament. We felt like they were closer to that 8, 9, 10 range than 13. I feel like, as a whole, the committee did a pretty good job. I'm usually the guy who's slinging arrows, you know, this week, and I had a hard time finding things to really get fired up about. I felt like Connecticut was a team that probably should have been in the field but wasn't. But I really couldn't find a suitable team to displace, right? So it was just one of those where we actually had more quality teams than we had spots because of some of the stolen bids. Nebraska won the Big Ten. That stole a bid. East Carolina won the American. That stole a bid. Western Kentucky, a team that played their way into the field and actually won the automatic bid, might have got in anyway. They had an RPI 41, but if they would have lost early in their tournament, they wouldn't have got in. And then Cal Poly out in the Big West Conference won the automatic bid. Had they exited early in their tournament, they wouldn't have been in. And that really squeezed it and kept some teams like maybe Troy, Virginia, Southeastern Louisiana, Connecticut, Xavier, those kind of clubs would have had a better chance had those things not happened.
Mark, your general thoughts on the Baton Rouge Regional, bringing in two-seeded Dallas Baptist, who went 40-16 this year. They didn't win the Conference USA tournament, but they were the Conference USA regular season champions, 16-7 on the road. LSU played them back in February, about 3 months ago, and they won that game. But Jay's said multiple times that it felt like a billion years ago, and teams change week to week, much less month to month. So they're a different team. They're a really good offense. Your thoughts on them? You know, Rhode Island coming in, the champions out of the Atlantic 10 Conference, is the three seed in the regional, and then Little Rock, the champions out of the Ohio Valley Conference, who had a very strange story, losing 13 of 14 games to end the year, but then they went 5 straight to win their conference tournament and get to the postseason. Your thoughts on the draw? I know that a lot of folks have kind of mentioned and pointed out that it's a favorable draw for LSU in the Baton Rouge Regional.
Well, certainly the 2-seed Dallas Baptist is a challenge. That's a good team. They're used to playing in regionals. It's everyone is going to be challenged going into Alec Box at night. And I feel like Dallas Baptist will too. But having a more veteran team, people who've been through it before, that gives them maybe a leg up on some of the other mid-majors that might hop through there. I do feel like Rhode Island is arguably the lowest 3-seed. So that would be a break. And you mentioned Little Rock. I mean, they finished 6th in an 8-team conference in the regular season. They have the lowest RPI in the field. It's an easy 4-seed. So it's kind of one of those things where I do feel like the 2-seed is competent and can give LSU some trouble. But other than that, I'm not terribly concerned about LSU's chances to break through.
LSU taking on Little Rock, 2 o'clock on Friday. How much do you know about LSU's opponent going into this matchup?
Sorry, what was that again? Sorry.
Just how much you know about this Little Rock team that LSU's about to face in their opening round?
Yeah, I mean, last year they were much better, and they lost a ton off that team. And so last year was the year we really thought they would make it to a regional, and they didn't. And so this year is kind of a surprise. It's found money, so to speak. So I do feel like that uh, if you know, it's one of these teams that certainly has nothing to lose. They'll be really excited to come play in an SEC venue like this. I know that they played Arkansas, but it's different in the postseason. I mean, the stakes are so high. You're seeing, you know, weekend starters, and your season continues for every game that you win. So I do feel like, you know, they'll be letting it hang out and take some chances and try to shock the world. But I don't like the odds of picking them, certainly in that building against that team. And I don't know who LSU is going to throw. You know, Jay usually throws, you know, one of his best pitchers, regardless of the opponent. Remember, Skeens pitched against Tulane. We'll see what happens. What if he goes Anderson or Ianson, or shakes it up and goes with someone else and holds those guys for later?
Mark, we had a caller that called in and made a really good point that, yes, the committee did do a good job as far as getting the right teams in the field and the right hosts and everything like that. But do you think that the kind of brackets are a little bit lopsided as far as like the left side of the bracket that will enter one bracket in Omaha versus the right side, where on the left side you have Vanderbilt and Southern Miss, Florida State, Oregon State, UNC, Oregon, Coastal Carolina, and Auburn is the host. And then on the opposite side, Texas, UCLA, Ole Miss, Georgia, LSU, Clemson, Tennessee, and Arkansas. It just feels like the potential to have, you know, one Omaha bracket be like Arkansas and LSU, you know, one of Ole Miss or Georgia, and then Texas. It just feels like maybe the right side of the bracket's a little bit more heavy loaded.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, you never really know how it's going to play out, but certainly it has a chance to end up that way. I do feel like, you know, you could have, you know, four SEC teams on one side of the bracket. You know, we almost had that last year. We had three out of the four in the same bracket, and certainly with that many teams, certainly six of the top eight, you're talking about a strong chance to have an SEC-loaded CWS, and certainly they could all be, you know, on the same side of the bracket, which would be weird. You know, the other thing I would point out is I really like what North Carolina did this weekend. They rolled through the ACC tournament, knocked off Florida State and Clemson, and they're playing as well as anybody. In my opinion, if any non-SEC team is going to take home the trophy and break that stranglehold, it's going to be North Carolina.
I watched them drub like Clemson in that ACC tournament final, Mark, and I was supremely impressed with UNC. But at the same time, I'm not super knowledgeable about Clemson either, but they just didn't look very impressive in that matchup. I can't tell if that was more of UNC looking fantastic or maybe Clemson had just kind of run out of the gas at the end of the ACC tournament there.
Yeah, I mean, I think Clemson was kind of run out of pitching, but you got to hand it to North Carolina. I mean, once they got up, you know, they really, really kept scoring, extending the lead. And the thing that impressed me so much about them against Florida State is just whatever they needed to do, they did it. They weren't flustered. They didn't get bothered when FSU made runs. It's a veteran club. They're used to playing big games. They're used to having success. And I think they're one of the teams to beat nationally.
So, Mark, my last question for you. I saw the stat on ESPN the other day that since the tournament changed in 1999, it's 400 regionals. It's a large sample size that you can take from. 67% of regional hosts get to the second round. So it's about on average, you know, if you could put it mathematically, 12 teams, maybe like around 11 teams basically get to the super regionals that are regional hosts. So every year there's around five or six regional hosts that lose their regional. I know that there are some potential obvious answers, quote unquote, but which of these regional hosts do you expect to kind of be on upset alert this weekend?
I think you have to start with Coastal Carolina, who drew Florida. Nothing against Coastal, but Florida. You know how they played the latter half of the year. Kevin O'Sullivan's done such a great job. I feel like that's certainly one. I think Ole Miss could be on upset alert. They had a great week. They got Georgia Tech. A lot of people felt they were going to host anyway. Danny Hall, their head coach, is in his final year. You know how that kind of stuff works. That would be another one I would watch. And certainly Southern Miss hosting Alabama and Miami and Columbia, I think that's a pretty balanced regional. And certainly Southern Miss has got a great shot, but it's going to be challenging for them as well.
Mark, definitely appreciate your time, man. Hope you start feeling better. Drink a little bourbon. It'll help you get the throat going.
Yeah, I need to. It's been a struggle all week.
Appreciate your time anyway, Mark. You're the man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Mark.
Mark
Etheridge, D1Baseball.com, SEC writer. What a dude. You heard him struggling there with his voice a little bit, so didn't want to extend his stay with us. But a shout-out to Mark for giving us some time.
Yeah, Mark's fantastic. All the D1 guys are, and I was really keeping up with their postseason projections as well. They almost had it on the money, Steve. They almost got 64-64 correct with their projection. Whew. It was very, very close. It was like the bubble team. I think UConn they had in the field, and I think UConn may have been the highest RPI team to miss the field. The D1 guys know what they're talking about. They know what they're doing. They're fantastic. So, yeah, thanks to Mark for his time, because he's been definitely tripping it out all week with Hoover and then all the stuff that they were doing this weekend, kind of projecting the tournament field.
Rest up, Mark, for the regionals. Get well, sir. We're looking at the NBA action playoffs going on right now between the Pacers and the Knicks. Indiana leading right now 47-42 over New York. There's 9:46 left till halftime. We'll be keeping an eye on that before we push on out of here. Taking a break right now, though, on Sports Talk. We'll be right back after this, so stay tuned on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
We're back here on Sports Talk, wrapping up our talk about the NCAA baseball tournament, Baton Rouge Regional, as LSU gets ready to host. First action on Friday will be 2 o'clock first pitch, which you can hear on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Could it be Anthony Ianson on the mound for the LSU Tigers? We won't know probably until moments before the game on Friday. Jay Johnson keeping everything very close to the vest. We're definitely expecting it to be Cade Anderson or Anthony Ianson. Well, Ianson just spoke to the media, and here's what he had to say as the Tigers are getting ready for postseason play.
What was your media reaction just seeing the names fall through for the
Richmond? Honestly, didn't really care who we played. Stopped listening after we got the top 8 seed. That was what I really wanted to have. Just another opponent. They're going to be good. 9 hitters in the lineup who are good at hitting, so just have to execute one game at a time.
What do you feel like the confidence level of this team is entering this postseason run?
Yeah, I think it's really high. I think all the wins and losses that we've had, we've learned from them, learned the positive and the negatives, and it's going to be really good for us going forward.
I know that was games and games ago, but do you remember anything from seeing Dallas Baptist early this year?
Yeah, a lot of good players. They swing the bat well, good pitching, get ahead in the count. So, you know, it'll be fun just playing in the regional.
As the season's progressed, you've done a lot better job avoiding kind of a slow start, getting into some trouble in your first couple innings. What's been the key to that?
Honestly, just telling myself with the second inning, as soon as the game starts, you know, I just want to start out off the bat, strike one, strike two, you know, get out the first guy that I see. So just trying to be more aggressive right out the gate.
I could tell you and Kay were locked in, not having too much emotion during the show, but what did you think about the broadcast calling you all a 1-2 punch?
It was fun. I love pitching after him. You know, obviously he's a great dude, goes about his business the right way. Very great pitcher, and he'll pitch for a long time. So it's fun to be a part of that.
How have y'all pushed each other throughout this season? As obviously, as the broadcast mentioned, y'all have both had so much success in different portions.
Yeah, I think just our play on the field, we try to, like, top each other's outings and stuff like that. It's all friendly competition, though. We both know that we'll be better, and us playing better individually will help the other person. So I think that's good.
We've seen the LSU offense struggle at times this year. I guess as a pitcher, do you ever offer any words of advice or encouragement to the guys in the plate, maybe tell them what you're seeing?
I have full faith in our offense. You know, they're great. They work hard every day. There's slow points for everybody, and I think them just, you know, continuing to play and just be themselves is going to help them. And I have full faith in them, obviously.
Can you speak to the quality of pitchers in the conference and in the game in its entirety? I guess we're seeing a lot more low-scoring games. I guess just as a pitcher, like, how much do you guys take pride in that and kind of understand the elevation of what you guys are doing out there?
Yeah. I mean, as pitchers, we understand, you know, it's getting later in the season. We have to be more sharp. So I think the focus is just turned up a little bit more from every pitcher. I think there's going to be a lot more low-scoring games, just more competitive at-bats, and every pitch is going to matter just a little bit more.
With all these guys who are starting to step up in the entire pitching staff, what do you think has sort of clicked for everybody for in terms of the unit as a whole? Like, what's working for the rest of the guys as well?
Yeah, just literally being tough and together. You know, obviously the pitching staff, we all have to be together and tough to win this thing. So I think just taking pride in what you're doing is the biggest thing for us.
You likely won't pitch on game one. So, like, walk us through, like, take us through a game day with you when you're not pitching. Like, what are you doing in the dugout, like, during the game? Like, you know, are you trying to, like, you know, do you pump the guys up? Do you, like, let them do their thing? Like, what's it like with being with Anthony Hyacinth on a game that he's not going to pitch in?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys screaming and stuff in the dugout. I'm more of a one-on-one type of guy. If I see a guy's thinking about, you know, some failure that they have in the game, kind of talk to him. Just remind him there's a lot of game left. You know, there's no reason to beat yourself up. You're going to get another chance, another opportunity, and I'll probably be holding an Uncrustable with it. Talking to him.
Chart?
Yeah, I do chart. Yes, sir.
You guys were probably like a 2, 3, or 4 seed when you went to the tournament at UC San Diego. So how do you kind of safeguard against the team that's a lower seed that has that kind of chip on its shoulder mentality? Play your brand of baseball?
Yeah, we talk a lot about it. It's not who you play, it's how you play. That's why I had a straight face when we saw the teams, because it really doesn't matter who you play, it's how you play. Like I said earlier, it's 9 people in the lineup. They're going to be really talented, so you just have to execute.
Does it help you at all, the fact that you guys face DBU? Does it help just you as a pitcher, the fact that, you know, you guys face them already and kind of know a little bit about their tendencies or whatnot?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, it helps us knowing, you know, how the players swing, how they operate as a team and what their philosophy is. So I think playing them before helped us.
Pitcher Anthony Hyacinth, a cool cat on the mound this year, 2.77 ERA. He's got 9-2 win-loss record. And after the SEC tournament, you can add a save to that column as well. How surprised were you to see Jay go to him?
I was definitely a little bit shocked at the time, and then you hear Jay kind of talk through it, and you're like, oh
okay,
yeah. No, I get it. 125 strikeouts this year and 84 in a third innings pitch, Steve.
Yeah.
Only giving up 66 hits in those 84 innings pitched. What else can you say about the year that Anthony Hyacinth had? I mean, he was a very highly touted transfer player for this LSU team. He surpassed every expectation we had.
Absolutely.
He's been fantastic. And that 1-2 punch of Cade Anderson and Anthony Hyacinth, Jay Johnson said it before, LSU's path to Omaha runs through those two guys. They get into the regional winners bracket and they get to the 2-0 in the regional and they can win a super on the backs of those two guys at the box. I mean, that Jay's onto something. Those two guys, it's the 1-2 punch is so supremely important, and LSU is one of the best in the country, and it's because of Anthony Ianson kind of picking up with that friendly rivalry, as he mentioned, with Cade Anderson.
Yeah, Anthony, Cade Anderson, 3.54 ERA, 89 innings pitched. He's got an 8-1 record, and you're looking at that he struck out 145 in those 89 innings pitched.
Yeah, that's some pretty good strikeout numbers. As I had mentioned earlier on the show, LSU, 11.9 strikeouts per 9 innings pitched, is number one in the country, tied with Vanderbilt, who's the number one seed in the entire bracket. Pretty good numbers, Steve. 3.72 team ERA, ranks 7th in the country and 2nd in the SEC, only behind Texas. And, I mean, a lot of it does have to do with those two guys, and they are the headliners for sure. But this LSU pitching staff as a whole has just been so awesome, especially late in the year.
Friday, 1:30 pregame coverage, 2 o'clock first pitch right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Baton Rouge Regional, LSU kicking things off. We'll be back with more sports talk as we wrap things up right after this on WWL. Welcome back into sports talk as we close out the show. Looking at the Eastern Conference Finals going on right now, all knotted up, 51-51. Indiana Pacers, New York Knicks, about 5 minutes left to the halftime over there.
Indiana got off to a scorching start. I think they scored 43 points in the first quarter, Steve, but ever since then, you get into the second, and like once again with this matchup, that's not the game that New York wants to play.
Sure,
where Indiana is going to be upwards of like 125, 130 points or something like that. They want to keep it lower scoring. They need to start getting some stops, and it seems like they're starting to do that a little bit here. Indiana, that just said, was 3 of 10 in the second quarter, Steve. So hopefully New York can kind of keep pace, keep it close, and keep it a little bit more low scoring so we get another really fun finish tonight.
Hope you folks tune in for tomorrow night's show of Sports Talk. NFL Films senior producer Greg Cosell will drop by at 4:20. Plus, are this year's SEC spring meetings the most important in conference history? We'll talk to Tiger Rag columnist Glenn Gilbo at 4:40. Then we'll break down the NBA playoffs with scout Mark Cook. Join us tomorrow on Sports Talk. For Charlie Long, I'm Steve Gella. Have a great night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.